Victoria Hislop's first novel, The Island, became an international bestseller. It was about a leper colony off Crete. Her second novel, The Return, tackles an equally difficult subject, the Civil War, which tore Spain apart in the 1930s. The novel begins in 2001 with two friends, Sonia and Maggie, taking themselves off to Granada to improve the salsa they've been learning in London. They are totally blown away by their first sight of a woman dancing flamenco.
One of the girls was returning, stamping her feet as she paced down the length of the corridor-shaped space, the flounces of her costume brushing the dusty feet of the tourists in the front row. The fabric of her dress, vivid tangerine with huge black spots, was pulled taut across her belly and breasts, seams strained, her feet stamped on the strip of wood that comprised the dance floor, rhythmically, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 3, 1-2, 3. Then her hands rose in the air. The castanets fluttered in a deep, satisfying trill, and her slow twirling began. All the while she rotated, her fingers snapped against the small black discs she held in her hands, and the audience was mesmerised. The dance ended as it had begun, with one decisive stamp, a full stop.
Victoria, there's a sense, reading the book, that you too are blown away by flamenco. How did you first come to see it?
Well, rather as the ladies in the book do. I was in Granada, and I went on my first evening to one of these damp, dark quavers, as they're called, up in the hills, and in marched these women, and there's an extraordinary violence about it that was totally unlike anything I'd ever seen in a sort of dance context. It's very passionate, and it's very unsettling. It's a very unsettling dance to watch.
Now, as the novel develops, you establish connections between Sonia and a Spanish history, and you flip us back then into the start of the war and the family who ran the cafe that Sonia's been frequenting. What kind of characters did you want to put there within that family?
Well, I suppose one of the things that I knew about the Civil War was that it did divide families, and I wanted to have the conflict within the family. And so I created characters, as you get in families, very often brothers and sisters are extraordinarily contrasted in their personalities, and I felt it was very believable that I would have a sensitive musician who naturally would have voted for the left. In Franco's day, homosexuality was absolutely outlawed and frowned upon, so I have a sensitive gay brother. And then his counterpoint is a very macho bullfighter who is politically completely on the other side from him.
And, of course, there's Mercedes, who is a wonderful flamenco dancer.
Yes, indeed, doesn't it? It sounds, you know, I've created some types, but I do think you get contrasts within families, I really do, and I felt that could work.
The death of the poet and playwright Federico García Lorca features in the book as the conflict begins. Why is he so important to you?
Well, he, in a sense, was my way into the discovery of the actual story of the Civil War, because I didn't know anything about it. And just outside Granada is his family's summer home. And I'd seen one or two Lorca plays in London and was interested in him. And I went off to see this little house in the park. And it was there I learnt that he'd been assassinated in the early days of the war. And it would be a little bit like if something happened to Stephen Fry. You know, he was an incredibly popular, very well-known figure, an icon. And his death really sort of indicated to people how serious this conflict was going to be. And I suppose what fascinated me was that I didn't know that he'd been brutally executed in that way. And that's when I started reading up about the war.
Now, Mercedes, the dancer of the family who carries on the flamenco tradition that so attracted you, she escapes to England. How common was it for refugees to manage to do that from the war?
It was actually very difficult. The British government had signed a non-intervention pact, and they were not welcoming anyone who wanted to come in. The Brits feared that these people in Spain who were trying to get out were communists, and they didn't want to have anything to do with them. But there were some fantastic women who campaigned to allow some of them to come in. And one boatload of 4,000 children left Bilbao while it was being blitzed by Franco's forces. And they came over on this boat in May 1937. And has been wonderful for me in terms of research was that some of them are still here. They never went back. It was meant to be just for a few months that they were here to be protected during this sort of attack on their city. But for some of them, it was then impossible to go back. Their parents had been killed or they were in prison. And many of them stayed for a while, and some of them stayed forever. And three of them were very kind and shared their experience with me.
It's so fascinating because it's a European war in such relatively recent history. And yet you get the impression that not many people remember it. How did you find people's reaction when you said, oh, I'm writing about the Spanish Civil War?
Many people in Spain, when Franco died, particularly, just wanted to rebuild their country and to forget about their past. It was a way of dealing with it. Rather than digging up the metaphorical bodies at that time, they decided to just forge ahead into the future. So, yes, I met people who were liberal-minded people, but they were quite difficult about telling me anything. They did not want to talk about it. They didn't want to sort of dig up the past.
Now, the island, as I mentioned, was the novel that was so successful last summer, and that was about a leper colony. And I wondered what attracted you to these hidden histories that are unlikely subjects for
they are.
Romantic novels.
I think leprosy perhaps even more than the Spanish Civil War, because there's been a lot of poetry and literature dedicated to the Spanish Civil War in the past. I think they're both subjects that people didn't like talking about, and somehow that makes you dig your heels in a little bit when you have any kind of journalistic instincts. So yes, I think it's sort of defying what people want to do and saying, actually, no, I do want to know about this. And let's see, I mean, the stigma that attaches to leprosy definitely attached itself to people in who'd fought in the Spanish Civil War. The stigma is there in both situations.
Now, I have to mention the fact that Victoria Hislop is married to, because it's quite an unusual name, to Ian Hislop. And you have two teenage children.
We do, yes.
And I wondered how the household is coping with two successful, very high-profile parents. It's very unusual.
There are examples, and most of them seem to be in Hollywood, don't they? The sort of two famous parents. I mean, I suppose I'm enjoying success with the book, but I don't think of myself as having a high profile because I'm not on the television, which seems to me what catapults you into the sort of fame that Ian has experienced. It's actually made Ian much more domesticated because occasionally, you know, the can opener and the tin of baked beans have to come out. So we're all adjusting. Life changes as the children grow up anyway. Life's sort of in a continual sort of state of flux. So I think we're probably just dealing with a certain kind of change.
Victoria Hislop, thank you very much indeed for being with us.